This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. When politicians get busted for taking bribes or awarding contracts to their supporters, it's usually a governor or lawmaker who lands in the spotlight. But reporter and former Vermonter Eric Lipton uncovered how corporate lobbyists are targeting another group for favors, attorneys general in states across the U.S. His in-depth investigation was published in the New York Times. Eric Lipton is a two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Times, and he's speaking at UVM about his series and more. And now he's joining us on the line today to explain more about his groundbreaking series and about some of the ripple effects here in Vermont as well. Eric Lipton, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
So this series that you did for the Times, very comprehensive. It really dug deep into these exclusive, secretive networks of power and money that are influencing top government officials. How did you first get wind of this problem?
Well, actually, a lobbyist in Washington that I know came to the New York Times and presented to us a request that she had received to make a contribution of as much as $125,000 on behalf of her corporate clients. And in exchange for that contribution, she was going to get special access to attorneys general and the privilege to meet with them in private settings at resort hotels. And these were requests that she'd received from both the Democrat and Republican Attorney General's Association. This is a lobbyist, and she came to us and said, you know, we understand that they have to raise money to get elected, but should they be asking for large contributions in exchange for special access?
So how did you start this investigation? Was it difficult to follow the money trail, or was this more of a case of something that was being hidden in plain sight?
Well, I mean, that was an important tip, of course, but I spent months on it because I wanted to do more than just see who was contributing and what dollar amounts. Some of that information was public, some of it wasn't public. But, I mean, what I really wanted to understand was, well, what are these companies getting? And what are these scenes like at these hotels where they're meeting with the state attorneys general? And who are the various lobbyists that represent these companies? And, in fact, the most important part was I'd love to see all of the email correspondence between these lobbyists and these lawyers and the attorneys general and their top staffers. And so I submitted more than 25 open records requests in states across the United States for this correspondence. And then I got nearly 10,000 pages worth of documents that I then assembled into a narrative that helped me get visibility into this secret world.
Well, some of the things you uncovered are pretty astonishing, and not just big companies lavishing fancy gifts and perks onto states' attorneys general, but also company lawyers actually drafting legislation for the AG's office. Can you give us an example of that?
There were many times that I saw letters that were written by energy industry officials that were essentially only missing the letterhead and signature of the attorney general. And they were submitting these letters to the attorney general, the same person that they had contributed, you know, tens of thousands, in some cases hundreds of thousands of dollars to through the Republican Attorney General's Association. And then the attorney general was simply putting it on his letterhead and signing it and sending these letters as regulatory comment letters to the EPA, to the Department of Interior, in some cases directly to President Obama, to protest efforts by the administration to limit air pollution or climate change. The energy companies were essentially writing the script for these top law enforcement officials, and that was pretty striking to me.
Maybe we should back up a second here and sort of remind folks what the role of an attorney general is. I mean, how powerful a position is that, and what is an attorney general supposed to do?
Sometimes they're nicknamed the people's lawyers. I mean, they're the top law enforcement official of the state. In some cases, they have sort of criminal oversight powers as well. They have subpoena powers, which means they can demand a response from corporations or private individuals. And they enforce the laws of the state. So if the state agency has an issue and they need to sue a private company, then the attorney general typically handles that litigation. They also are in charge of consumer protection and antitrust issues. I mean, they have enormous powers. And that's, in fact, why corporations targeted them. This really dates back a couple of decades when the state attorneys general joined together and pursued billions of dollars from the tobacco companies. They collected such a giant settlement that corporations realized, you know what, these guys can really hurt us. So we better staff up and hire a whole new group of lobbyists to target these guys to prevent them from coming after us. Because the attorney generals moved on from the tobacco companies to go to pharmaceutical companies, to go to banks, and they became a major threat. And so that's when corporations mobilized and began to target them.
After your series ran in the New York Times, reporter Paul Heintz of the 7 Days newspaper here in Vermont did some of his own investigating into Vermont's Attorney General, Bill Sorrell. He was specifically looking at whether or not Sorrell violated campaign finance rules in Vermont Bill Sorrell has denied that he did anything to violate those rules. Have you been following that issue since Paul published his story?
I have, yeah. I mean, I actually met the Vermont Attorney General in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at one of these conferences. We had a long conversation, and we spoke about how he had met with a former attorney general from New Mexico who had been hired by a plaintiff's law firm, and she was essentially acting as a broker trying to get state attorneys general to hire her client and to sue companies on behalf of the state. It's a bit complicated, but these are basically plaintiff's lawyers who were seeking to get a commission of any fine that the companies would pay. And so Sorrell was one of those state attorneys general that was targeted by this company called Barron & Budd for states to hire them to sue oil companies. And so I examined that issue in part three of the series, and then 7 days picked up on that and found out some additional things that I was unaware of that made it look even worse, because they had made a large contribution to Sorrell shortly before he hired Barron & Budd. So that is now being investigated.
What's being done now, if anything, to stem the tide of this kind of potential abuse?
Well, there was a lot of talk after the series first ran. There was legislation that was proposed in Washington State. There was an investigation in Missouri. There was an investigation in Florida. There was talk of even the American Bar Association making some rule changes relative to attorneys general. Little of it has actually materialized, and to a large extent, it's gotten back to normal for the lobbyists and the attorneys general. They were in Hawaii together recently. They were in Florida. They were doing their traveling. So not much has changed, and attorneys general are viciously competing against each other in election races. Both political parties see those offices as critical stepping stones to becoming a U.S. senator or governor, and so I don't actually see this lessening in intensity. It's only going to probably increase.
Eric Lipton is a reporter for The New York Times. I want to thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.